It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We are in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the 6th verse today and even the 5th verse and then read through that section. And so Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many studies up there. Please that you would take a look at them. Plan of Salvation is there in written form and verbal as well. We have our Constitution on that site, so please that you would visit and realize that we are right staying with the Word of God. And then also, if you'd like to email us, why it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And again, that's Parkview Bible or Parkview Bible Church. Either one will work just fine. @gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your scripture, and we'll begin the study today. Romans chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with the 5th verse. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, has faith, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then unto the circumcision only, or unto the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he receiveth the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The father of circumcision to them who, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Read to the end of the chapter there. What a wonderful study we're going to have today. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can go to your precious word and just enjoy it. So please, dear Lord, that you will show us your way and will. Bring people to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that's done through the reading of the Word, through the hearing of the Word. And then, Father, as that Word is heard, as that Word is brought to the heart, then the Spirit of God can come and show that life, show that person that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need a Savior, and that Savior is none other than Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. There is one God the Father, one God the Son, and one Holy Spirit. And please, dear Father, that you will just instill that in their heart and that they will believe by faith. And they'll get rid of this thought of circumcision, or as today, baptism, that is required for salvation. So please show them it's by faith, and faith alone brings salvation. So guide and lead us now today through this wonderful study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these verses of Scripture, this comes, the blood that was shed by the Lamb of God on the cross made good all of the offerings of the Old Testament. And we look here at Abraham. We can look all the way back to Adam. And we find then also in Abraham's time that he gives a burnt offering. When Abraham gives a burnt offering, and Abraham is long before the law was ever put into place, long before Moses, and yet Abraham, when he offers up his son Isaac, he said, we've got a burnt offering, which is a sin offering. You see, we are lost and dying in our sin, and there's only one that can take care of it, and that is the person Jesus Christ. You must come by faith to him and be saved. There is a debt. This sin debt has got to be paid, and the only way it can be paid is through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This covering that God has given Adam and Eve, and all before Jesus went to the cross, all Old Testament saints, it was just a covering until the time that Jesus went to the cross, paid it all, and finished. It all points, every sacrifice that they offer, every animal that was offered, it all points to the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. All the blood that was shed in the Old Testament points to Calvary. And we look at this these precious verses here. It is wonderful to look, and you need to understand that, as we read in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It goes on, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. You see, through the Old Testament, they were covered. Now they are taken away. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There is no sin to my account. And the reason for that is not because of me, because I'm just a filthy old rotten sinner saved by the blood of Jesus. And if you come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in him and him alone for your salvation, not in your baptism, not in your church membership, nothing, not in anything you can do, just come by faith to Jesus and say, please save me. And we find, as we look at these verses that we've just read from verse 5 through verse 8 in chapter 4, he says, him that worketh not. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to serve him and praise him and honor him and work hard in glorifying him with our lives. But that comes after salvation, and that's the problem here. You come by faith and faith alone. You see, but to him that worketh not. In other words, don't work your way to heaven because you can't. Don't work trying to get all your sins forgiven because you can't. And if you're a part of a religion that attaches works to your salvation, you're lost, dying, and going to hell. You must come by faith to Jesus and to him alone and call upon him for your salvation, trusting in him and him alone, not by any works that you have done, whether it, again, be some talent that you're using and you think, okay, God's going to count this. And you know, everybody today that dies, when they die, that, you know, the preacher, and many times that preacher's lying. He said, oh, they're in a better place. Unless they have come by faith to Jesus Christ and are covered with the blood of Jesus, they are not in a better place. They're in a place of torment. And we have description in the scripture tells us that the rich man down there just, please, just dip your fingers and touch my tongue. I am so thirsty. And please, the fires of hell, you have got to understand that majority of the people that die today and leave this life do not go to a better place. They go to a place of torment awaiting the lake of fire for eternity. Understand that. And the only way that you can take care of it is not to join this church, not to be baptized by me at this church, but to come by faith to Jesus and him alone. That is the only way. So please, call upon Jesus today. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Paul takes so much time here in Romans trying to get the people to understand it's not by works. It's by faith. And it's a faith that God gives you. But when we grab a hold of some talent or some work, baptism or circumcision or church membership or anything like that, then we're taking away. It's not by faith. It's not by God's grace. It's by something we think we can do, and we can't. We can't. If you never attend a church service, ever, you can be saved. Now, you should, because you should want to. You should want to learn the Word of God. But it's got nothing to do with something you do. It's nothing to do with works. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That him there is Jesus Christ. His faith is counted for righteousness. If you believe Jesus saved you and he died for you, and you know that he's risen from the dead, call upon him today. Trust in him. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Still talking about Jesus, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Now, when we're talking about David there, the sins are just covered. Now, today, because Jesus has went to the cross, our sins are taken away. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, praise God that he is not putting my sin to my account, because there's not one single thing I can do about it, except know Jesus died for me and took my sins away, and I believe that with all my heart. Please, call upon him today. Look at verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then unto the circumcision only? You see, Paul just had to continue, because the Jews, the Israelites, they had it in their head that Abraham is their father, and if I am a descendant of Abraham, that's all I need. Well, it's not all you need. That's like claiming that your church membership is enough. Well, then we get into this circumcision and uncircumcision, because as the Jews were required by law in the Old Testament to be circumcised, that was just to show identifying them as someone different. I am of the blessed and the wonderful chosen of God. Now, that chosen, that didn't get them eternal life. That didn't get them salvation, just to be circumcised. That was to be an identification of what they believe by faith. Same thing with baptism today. Baptism is that same way. It is an identification, and it does not come after, before you're saved. It comes after you're saved, after you've come by faith to Jesus. Then you go into the baptistry, and not the sprinkling. That's something that's been handed down for so many years, and it's got nothing to do with it. And even asked a person, he said, how can that be baptism? Because you shouldn't be baptized till after you're saved. Well, it's actually a dedication. Then call it a dedication. Don't call it a baptism. You call it a baptism, and it's wrong. It's an error. It's not of the Word of God. Baptism comes after salvation. Salvation comes after you are past the age of accountability. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you're lost. You know that you need a Savior. And when you call upon Jesus Christ by faith, He saves you. Then comes baptism. Then comes that opportunity to show all the folks around you, family and friends and your other brothers and sisters in Christ that are in the church, show them what's happened in your heart. You go down into the water, that pictures the old self is standing there, the old flesh, and you go down into the water, that pictures the death that you are a part of, because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And then you come back up out of that water, and it shows the resurrection of Christ. It shows what's in your heart. That can't be until after you're born again. That's baptism. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's to testify to others. Now, God chose the Israelites. Why He chose them, I have no idea. But He did. He chose the Israelites. He chose them, and through that line of Abraham onto Isaac, onto Jacob, onto Judah, and Jesus was born through the tribe of Judah. That's the reason that everybody would be blessed, not because of being a descendant of Abraham, but what was going to come through Judah. And that's exactly what took place. Jesus was born, and they were all looking, should have been looking forward to what was to come. Some, you know, back in Abraham's day there, you know, we're clear back in the time of you know, almost 1,800 to 2,000 years before Jesus was born and before Jesus was crucified. And so we're 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, they had to believe. They had to come by faith, and they had to trust in that Jesus Christ was going to come and save them. And that line was coming through this chosen people. And God set them aside, and he had them to be circumcised. That was their seal. That didn't save them, but that identified them. And so right here, that's what they're dealing with. It says in verse 9, see, Paul's got to deal with this now, because they said, well, how about those that aren't circumcised? How about those that are circumcised? That's what he's dealing with here. He's got to get them away from that works. You got to get a person to the place that it comes, you're saved by grace and grace alone. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then unto the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Was it because of circumcision or uncircumcision? And look at verse 10. It explains it here. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? You see, the word here is going to tell us that Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, accounted to him for salvation prior to circumcision. So then why are they hanging on to the circumcision? As we continue, verse 10, and how was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Because you see, he believed, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness before circumcision. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Do you hear that? And that's exactly what takes place when it comes to our lives concerning baptism. That's what comes concerning our lives when it comes to church membership or any sort of work. It is of no account. It doesn't matter. It was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. You see, Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. You've got to be saved before you're baptized. And you can be baptized 100 times before, but it's going to be to nothing. It's going to be null and void because you must come by faith and be saved. I don't care what religion you're a part of today. I don't care what church you attend. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many times you've signed your name on church membership sheets. It doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with Jesus. You must come by faith to Jesus and be saved. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 12, the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. I hope that I am making this ever so clear so that you can see what Paul is teaching here through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that circumcision doesn't save. Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. Baptism doesn't save. Because you need to be saved before you're to be baptized to begin with. But if you're baptized now, that doesn't matter at all. Doesn't have any effect on anything. You're just as hell-bound with your baptism. You're just as hell-bound with your church membership. The only thing that matters is coming by faith to Jesus Christ in him alone. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see, Paul was dealing with Israel, with the Rome, with the Jews, and they were so set on keeping the law, being circumcised, having the Sabbath day on Saturday, and abiding by the law. Everything was set by the law. And they are saying, you call your father Abraham? Well, Abraham was saved before all that. And he was saved by faith, not by the law. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, the promise made of none effect. It doesn't count. There's no purpose in Jesus dying on the cross at all. If the law saves, look at verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What a beautiful verse of scripture there. Now, if you think that the law saves, you're going to go to hell. If you think some rules, circumcision, baptism, church membership, your works, whatever you think is important, you are going to go straight to hell when you die. You're missing all the blessings here because God gives the believers wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it's precious to know the Word of God and to study the Word of God. And until you become born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, he was a very religious man, he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He said, what are you talking about, born again? Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again. Come by faith to Jesus. Be born again. Here, everything, they keep going back to Abraham. And he's very clear here. It tells us that because the law worketh wrath, that's in verse 15, the law worketh wrath. Now, the reason the law worketh wrath is because it shows us how great a sinner we are. The law condemns. The law kills. I'm dead in my trespasses because of the law. Now, when there was no law prior to the Ten Commandments, prior to the law, they were still held accountable. But now that we have the law, it is so clear. You're lost. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Therefore, it is of faith, in verse 16, that it might be by grace. Believe in Jesus Christ, God's grace, unmerited favor, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The picture we have here of the faith of Abraham is that Abraham was promised a seed. Now, Abraham tried different things. He tried to take his servant's son, because that was the custom of the day. If you had no children, then the servant's son could be your son and your heir. God said no. Then he tried through Hagar and Ishmael. God said no. And he said, I am going to make you a great nation, and it's going to be through your seed and through you and Sarah. And so Abraham, again, attempted to do things on his own. God kept saying no. And he believed that he would make him a great nation. He had no children. He was almost 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old, way past childbearing years. It's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And Abraham believed that. He believed God was going to supply. And he did. He did. And I believe that in the scripture there, when Isaac, the promised son, when he was born, and at that time it wasn't uncommon to nurse a child up through 4 or 5 years old. And when Isaac was weaned, which could have been at 4 or 5 years, Abraham threw a party. And I believe the reason for that is to testify that, look, somebody else didn't have this child, Sarah did, and she nursed this child for 4 or 5 years, and she couldn't have done that unless she had given birth to this child. You see, Abraham believed. Now please, my friend, We're going to pick this up next time. What are you going to do about Jesus?